Etsy has a little New Year inspiration for you. Actually, we've got a lot. We're here to help you start fresh with home and style finds from small shops. Get cozy linen bedding under $150 and handmade jackets under $100. For original home and style finds to help you start fresh, Etsy has it. Shop the Etsy app.
Something amazing is happening with supply chains. They're practically running themselves, quickly and securely. That's because retailers consulted with CDW, who designed and built a Cisco security solution to defend against attacks and respond to threats. With end-to-end protection, better decisions are made in real time, ensuring warehouse and customer data stay safe until products land at their destination. Cisco and CDW, make amazing happen. Find out more at cdw.com/cisco.
With Chewy, get a free $20 e-gift card with your first food order and get the kibble they want or the specialty diets they need delivered right to your door. Plus, you can add on delicious toppers for even more mealtime excitement. Find all the brands you know and love with all the flavors your pets drool over right at your fingertips. Chewy makes mealtime easy. For low prices, for fast shipping, for life with pets, there's Chewy.
It's the Back Nine Boys Golf Show. All about golf, from putting to driving, from hooks to whatever. Now, here's your host of the Back Nine Boys Golf Show, Rich Stiles.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the show. The Back Nine Boys Golf Show is brought to you by Bridgestone Golf. Try the Tour B ball today. By the club at Sea Palms. By RSM, proud sponsor of the RSM Classic, giving back to our community. By Club Car, the leader in sport, utility, and personal vehicles. And by CJ's Italian Restaurant, voted best pizza on St. Simon's Island. Check out their full menu at cjsitalianrestaurant.com. On the show, we're going to talk with Kevin Baker of Jekyll Island Ocean Club about their fundraiser for the First Tee program of the Golden Isles coming up on Sunday. Then we'll talk with the president of Newton Shafts and also putters, Aki Yashihiro, about how their shafts will help your drives be straighter, which always helps. Then we'll talk with Craig Allen, director of the Sea Island Golf Performance Center. He attended the TGL League event in Palm Beach, said it was fantastic to be there in person, and others watch it on TV. Your thoughts? Be nice to know. Here's my interview with Kevin Baker.
We're with Kevin Baker, the sales manager at the Ocean Club on Jekyll Island. And Kevin, thanks for being with us on the Back Nine Boys podcast.
My pleasure. Glad to be here. Thank you.
All right. Tell us about this partnership that you've done with the Golden Isles First Tee program in Bridgestone Golf.
Sure. The Jekyll Island Club is a resort here on Jekyll Island, down here in South Georgia. And we have the main property is a historic hotel that many people might recognize. And then about 7 years ago, we opened up a oceanfront side of the property, the Ocean Club. And so in the wintertime, as the travelers sort of changed their plans, we really wanted to focus on, you know, golfers. And so we came up with this great kind of experience. And so from November through March, we offer free golf with the package. So you stay at the Ocean Club Resort and your golf for the courses here on Jekyll Island are included with your stay. And so we partnered up with First Tee Golden Isles so that every room night we donate $5 to the First Tee program. And then Bridgestone is also a partner, and you also get a little Bridgestone gift bag when you stay with us. And we've got a golf ball analyzing swing machine that tells you what Bridgestone golf ball you should buy. But the idea was to just sort of promote golf on the island and, support a great organization like First Tee. And, we're really excited to kind of pull that all together. And this event here coming up at the end of the month here on Sunday is another way to do that.
And how did the program go? I know being the first year, sometimes it it exceeds expectations. How did it go for y'all?
We thought it went great. You know, as you said, it was the first year, and we're trying to get a little ahead of the game here, because one of the big things that's going on here on Jekyll Island is the complete renovation of their golf courses. So we have, or had at one point, three 18 holes courses and the historic nine. And so what they've done is they took last year, they took out the Pine Lakes course, like completely down to dirt, recut everything, rearranged holes, greens, bunkers, fair, everything. And now that course has reopened. It's completely redone, redesigned, you know, full technical water systems, you name it. And then this right now, if you were to drive over to the golf course, they've taken out another one of the courses, but actually are weaving in the other historic nine holes that was the old Great Dunes course that'll actually, you'll see the ocean visible on a few of those holes. And that course is going to open this year later. So what we're trying to do is kind of, you know, make sure that golf is at the forefront again for Jekyll Island. And so I would say it was a success, and we're excited because this is going to become a new tradition for the season. So come this November, we're going to be partnering again with First Tee, Golden Isles, and Bridgestone, and do the free golf promo here at the Ocean Club from November through March again. So, yeah, it was definitely successful enough for us to want to continue with it, and we're excited about the new course opening up too.
And how was your relationship with Bridgestone, and how successful was that as far as getting fitted for the right golf ball?
That was great. You know, we had a lot of learnings, you know, so, you know, things are, you know, we had a great education from our partners at Bridgestone. So they gave everybody that stayed with us, you know, you got a couple of different options for golf balls. And so that was really fun. So in included was some Bridgestone golf balls, a couple of, you know, neat logo items. You got Ocean Club stuff, you had Bridgestone items. And then we had a hitting net in the back with this golf ball analyzer called Auto, and it would analyze your swing as you hit a ball into the net. And then the Auto machine would tell you what, you know, based on your swing, what the best golf ball is. And that's about the extent of my knowledge of it, but it was really fun. And we're going to do more of that stuff this upcoming season because, you know, people responded well to it. And we're trying to theme, you know, so when you come and you stay, we'll have, you know, fun drink specials. And I'm even trying to play around with how do I, you know, maybe be for the lowest score of the day, you know, that person gets something at the resort. So we're having fun with it. You know, I think that it's a great time that when we sort of move out of beach season, you know, to be at a beach resort, you still take advantage of the views and being on the water, but, you know, kind of have upplay the golf, and Bridgestone's been a good partner to help with that.
Well, all of that sounds great. First Tee is going to be the recipient of the program. Tell us more about the event that is coming up for this Sunday.
Yes. So what we're doing is we at the Ocean Club side of the property, the restaurant is called 80 Ocean. And so on Sunday evening, we have 10% of the proceeds for all of the dining will be donated to First Tee. And there will also be a silent auction. So we have, I think we were trying to count it up, we were closing in on several thousand dollars worth of auction items. And those include, you know, some signature items from Bridgestone. So I know that we've got like a couple of flags that are signed. We have some trips. We have a stay at the Jekyll Island Club Resort, of course, but we also called some of our sister properties, and we have stays, I believe, down in Key West and in Naples, Florida. So people can come and bid on the silent auction items, and those proceeds will also go to First Tee. So, you know, we just thought we'd kind of finish the season with the fundraiser and try to raise some money for First Tee. So it's open to the public. Anyone can come and dine, and we will donate 10% of the proceeds back to First Tee. And anyone is welcome to bid on the silent auction items. There's a whole bunch of great ones. And everyone's welcome to come to 80 Ocean Restaurant and participate in the dinner and the silent auction.
And Kevin, how has the partnership been between the Ocean Club and First Tee? I mean, it's a great organization. They do wonderful things for the kids, teaching them not only about golf, but more importantly, about life.
It's been wonderful. As you said, it is a fantastic organization. My children participated in it as well, so I had some very firsthand knowledge. Because the Golden Isles is such a golf is just part of our culture here, right? If it's Brunswick or St. Simon's or Jekyll or Sea Island, it's just part of our lifestyle. And so I know that First Tee does their lessons here on the Jekyll Island courses. And so we kind of just as a small community, we knew some of these people already. Like I said, I knew some of the instructors and the ladies that run the program just from our own community. And they were really excited for us to partner with them. So like I said, the free golf promotion at the resort, we donated to $5 per, and then doing the fundraiser. And I think we're going to kick off because of the excitement and the attention that we've gotten from these events. I think we're going to probably do this again in November because I think the more money we can raise for such a great organization, the better. And we're excited to partner with them.
Kevin, do you know at this time how many folks are coming or how much you might be donating to First Tee?
It's a good question. I think we're going to have, we've already got some reservations on the books. So that means people can call ahead and make reservations, or people can just show up. But I think for a Sunday night, it'll be a busy night for that restaurant, which is good. Because it's just a great time, I think, for people to come out there. And what we're looking to do is, if we can get people dining and enjoying the bar, and then we'll, like I said, we're going to donate 10% of all of the proceeds from that evening. So I think it'll be a good amount, and that combined with the money that we raised from the golf package and the auction, hopefully we're, several $1,000will get donated, and that'll go hopefully a long way for First Tee program.
And how did your kids enjoy the experience with First Tee?
They loved it. What I liked, and I kind of tell this story is I grew up in a golfing family, and I wouldn't be ashamed that my mother heard me say that I think I was kind of forced to golf, right? Because that's what they did is I got dragged around a golf course. And when I was young, because that's what they were doing. And maybe that was not my best experience to start golf, because I didn't then golf again until later in life, as a young adult. And then I really enjoyed the sport. And so I was a little hesitant to get them into it. So the first tee that we learned about that as my children becoming age that would be appropriate to start golfing. And they loved it because they make it fun. That my daughter came home and told me that they were playing tic-tac-toe with a wedge, trying to hit balls into the X's and the O's. And I was like, well, that sounds a lot more fun than I remember my introduction to golf. And I love golf, and again, those early memories are now fond ones. But First Tee really gave them an amazing introduction to the sport. And what I like about it too is it's not just, we as a golfing family, I knew I was gonna, get them their first set of clubs, and I was excited to pick them out with them. And we would play on the local courses, and because some of the courses that I get to play on. But what I love about First Tee is that maybe families that are not golfing families or don't have the means to play golf, First Tee makes that available for them, and people that probably would never have even considered golf can now golf because of how the program works. And so my kids loved it, and I know that the community loves it because that they're just trying to get more and more people out on the golf course. And I think that's a great goal.
And it's kind of cool as a parent, if your kids have never gone through that, to be able to sit back and just kind of watch them enjoy this game that a lot of people who play it think it's so frustrating. But the way that they introduce it to kids makes it more fun.
Indeed, and it was the it's creativity, and it's they get the instructors are, like you said, they're a lot of fun. And I like I said, I don't think I would have described learning how to golf fun when I was little. And but my kids, I remember them coming back, and they were just saying like, we had so much fun. And they played the games, got them into, got the skills started. And now, as they're older, and they're still young, but as they're older, they want to golf, and they want to go out, and they can play nine holes, and I'm just love watching them grow and enjoy the sport. And it's like I said, it's an important part of our community here, and we're glad to be part of it.
Well, Kevin, let's jump back to Sunday night. The event starts at 5. What is kind of like the timetable for the auction and so on?
So it's a silent auction, so that there will be a display table with all of the items out on the table, and so people can come at any time between 5 and 8 with for the auction, and the dining room will be open as usual, and we'll have the restaurant open. Again, it's open to the public. You can make reservations if you want to, or just walk in, and people can bid on those auction items for that whole time from 5 to 8 p.m. And then, kind of how that works is that, if you're the last bidder with the higher amount, then the group there will collect everybody's information and contact you to be able to do it. And like I said, you don't have to be affiliated with First Tee or the hotel or Bridgestone. Just come for dinner, and if you see something, you want to bid on a trip down to the La Playa Resort in Naples, then so be it. And you're going to be raising some money for a great cause.
Awesome. Kevin, thanks for giving us the time, the info, and we'll see you Sunday night.
Sounds great. We're looking forward to it. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Hey everyone, this is Tracy West. I'm tournament director for the Valspar Championship, and you are listening to the Back Nine Boys podcast.
Welcome into the show. Our first guest is Aki Yuriro. How are you? It's good to have you with us, president of Newton Gravity. It is great to have you with us. Thanks for being with us, Aki.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
How long have you been in the golf business? You were in the media business for a while, then you
That's
got
right.
into the golf business. How did you make that transition?
Well, before that, I practiced law, so I always tell people that I'm a recovering attorney. I practiced law for 14 years. Then I did a digital media startup and ended up doing media business for about 10. And then I was kind of looking for something to do on my own, like it's you get you always have that kind of dream of really doing a startup on your own. And my
Sure.
first startup in the digital space, I did it with a number of other people. And so I was looking for something to do and looking at a variety of things, and I came across the patent for the putter that we launched. So
Right.
the patent is about ultra low balance point. And I was really intrigued by the patent because it's vastly different than all the other putters that are out there. And I test everything out, and I felt like if I could make that concept widespread in the public space, then we would do well. And I think, and the other thing I thought it was, I think it would help a lot of people, and because so many people struggle with putting. To me, the putting should be the easiest part of the game,
Right.
and but yet so many people struggle. So that's how I kind of transitioned into the golf space. I did a lot of research, explored a lot of technologies because to enable that patent to design a ultra low balance point putter, you have to have very light grips. You have to have a very light shaft. I want to make heads forgiving so that it's easy to putt with.
Right.
So there's a lot of, technology and research that went into it. So that's kind of how I, transitioned into golf. I've always loved golf. I played tennis growing up, but after college, I started playing golf, and I was playing, a fair amount of golf. So there was it was kind of a kick.
With Chewy, get all the food your pets love delivered right to your door. Get a free $20 e-gift card with your first food order. And get mealtime essentials from all the brands you love with an extra side of savings. For low prices, for life with pets, there's Chewy.
It is something that gets into your skin, it gets into your heart, and it's just one of those things that I'm obsessed with it. I'm always trying to improve, and putting is one of those things that everybody's trying to find the next best thing. So you saw a hole in the industry that provided you to do what you're doing with Newton Gravity. So what was the big hole? You just didn't see anybody doing what you're doing now?
Correct. Correct. So there was a patent on it, which prevented others from exploiting that concept. And the patent holder happened to be Rich Parente and Steve Sachs, and those were my initial co-founders.
Okay.
Unfortunately, they're no longer with our business, but so I'm the remaining one here.
Okay.
But they had that patent, and they did a few licensing deals, but it wasn't really fully exploited. And so that's where I saw the opportunity. And I think, like with everything else in that space, you can have a concept, but the devil's in the execution, right? Making the shaft, it's, you know, a very, very light shaft. We're utilizing shafts that are 50 grams on our putters.
Wow.
And we've explored shafts as light as 30 grams, you know, 30, 40 grams. And we test it with a variety of people. And there's a balance between the head weight and the shaft weight and the grip weight. You know, if it's too lopsided, it's too extreme. And people have a hard time migrating over from their, what they're used to, right? So these are all these things that we had to test and you know, explore over the years. You know, we started that company back in 2018 or 19. I can't even remember anymore. You know, so that was 6-7 years ago. And we've gone through a lot. So where we've settled is, you know, a head weight of about 380. All of our putters are 380 across the board. And then the shaft is 50 now. You know, we used to be, like I said, we used to be a little bit lighter. And we felt like, particularly with the better players and the pros who are used to a certain feel, it was just a little bit too heavy on the swings, you know, swing weight.
Okay.
And so we came up to 50 grams on the shaft. You know, we tweaked the feel, right? The great thing about carbon fiber is you can tweak the feel in a number of ways that you can't really do with steel. So even the ball feel, things of that nature. And then certainly the grip has gone through a couple iterations. Our grips are 32 grams, so very, very light. And you can't find these things. They're not sold. You know, I don't think you can buy a 32-gram grip out on the market. It just doesn't exist. And I don't think there is a 50-gram putter shaft on the market. They don't exist either. So the transition for us was we used to, when we started, we didn't have a shaft manufacturing capability. So we would source our shaft, putter shafts from abroad. And one was a Japanese supplier and one was an Asian supplier. And over time, it became hard because of COVID and all these things. There's a military coup in Myanmar. And so we made this very fundamental decision to explore making our shaft ourselves. And so we rented a space in Missouri and we bought equipment and we hired a few people and we started making, we started designing putter shafts. We came up with a great putter shaft. And then that was that transition to exploring driver shaft because we don't sell as many putters to keep the factory busy. So we said, let's start developing driver shaft. And that was about 4 years ago. And driver shafts are hard. You know, it took us about, I think it took us about 3.5 years to launch. So we launched 2023 in November, and that's the Newton shaft. That was that was the launch of the Newton golf brand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's just focus on the putters for a minute. So do you believe it's the putter or the putty?
Well, there's always a little bit of both. There's always a little bit of both, right?
Okay.
But I think the biggest thing is, you know, for me, the physics of almost every putter that's out there from a weight ratio perspective.
Right.
So head weight, shaft weight, grip weight, those physics, I know that there are different head shapes. I know that there are different designs and, you know, you have, you know, face balance concept, you know, torque balance concept, whatever. But the physics of the weight distribution, they're pretty much the same, right? So, and I'm sure you know so many people who have 10, 20, 30, 100 putters in the garage that are just sitting there.
You bet, right? You bet.
Stops working, so they go get another one.
Right.
There's a hunting phase. And then they putt good for about 2 weeks, and then honeymoon's over. They're back to putting terribly, so they go get another putter, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over again and expecting a different result. So the way I saw the putter industry you know, the weight distribution across the board and all the putters that are out there, they're basically all the same. So when you ask, is it the putter or is it the puttee? Well, it's a little bit of both, right? So the puttee shouldn't expect to have a different result from simply picking up another putter that's basically the same, right? They shouldn't expect a different result. And that's the definition of insanity. Whoever has 100 putters in their garage, that person, I'm sorry, okay, that it fits that definition, right? So I think in that regard, that's what I wanted to do, was to bring this very different concept, the ultra low balance point putters, which will feel different. It will putt different. And the thing about our putters is, because of the weight distribution, the head reacts more to gravity and the laws of motion, so that you don't have to do all the work with your hands. Like, gravity and laws of physics will help you pendulum your putter more consistently, right, from putt to putt to putt, and help you become a better putter. And it's different than the putter that you currently have. Okay. So if you're struggling with it, why not try different physics? And that's kind of our concept behind the gravity putters. It's just really easy to putt with.
You know? How's it been received? I know you've been out for a while with it. How's it been received by those that are using it?
So the people who have touched it, more often than not, substantial majority of the people who have actually touched it will end up with one. Okay. I do putter fittings for, you know, amateurs, good amateurs, college players, touring pros. Whoever comes to see me, I will tell you that over 90% of those people, if not 95% of those people, will end up with one of our putters. Because
pretty strong.
They've never experienced anything like it.
Sure.
And I also can give them instruction on how to use it. You know, it's really more of a neutral acceleration using the gravity. It's more of a pendulum style as opposed to using a lot of hands to accelerate.
Right, right.
And I always tell people that the hands are different every day. You know, if I have 3 cups of coffee in the morning, I will not be able to putt. But I also say that gravity is the same every day, at least pretty much the same.
Sure. Right?
So if you rely more on gravity and not your hands, I can be more consistent. And
sure.
That's kind of how I work with people. And we did this redesign to gravity. And there's a couple of kind of important points about that. We played around with high MOI putter heads initially for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years of our existence. And I still think that's a great idea, because when we started the company in 2018, most of the putters had not changed. They're not very forgiving. If you hit it on the toe, it's going to go a little right. You're going to lose distance. And same thing on the heel.
Right, right.
Nobody used tungsten, right? Tungsten's expensive and nobody used it. And the concept of perimeter weighting, it exists in every other club, you know, from driver all the way down, you know, up the iron. But people weren't really using it for the putter designs. And so we brought about the use of, you know, a lot of tungsten and creating a lot of MOI and whatnot. I think in that pursuit of the MOI, our blades got a little bit long, because the longer the object, higher the MOI.
Right.
And I wanted to, we did that for a while, but in this iteration of the rebranding to gravity, I wanted to do a couple of very important things. So one was the look and feel, right? Don't overestimate the how important the quality of the look and feel is. And if the blade is too long, people will resist to that. And right. So we figured out a way to maintain high MOI without having long blades and large object. So that's a very important.
That's strong. Yeah, that's strong.
And then the other is just bringing back the feel. So I personally like the feel of a carbon steel in a blade putter.
Right.
So all of our blade putters are made in the USA. Everything we do is made in the USA. except for our grips, which have to come from overseas because there's no polyurethane business in the United States anymore. But all of our blades are 1018 carbon steel. And I'm a big believer in that because the feel is really sweet. You know, like when many of these high-end putters that you see today, when they started out, right, particularly their tour models were true carbon steel, whether they were 10, 20, 25, 18, you know, that's, I'm okay with any of them because, you know, they're pretty close, but nobody uses carbon steel anymore, right?
Right, right.
Stainless steel is so convenient. Aluminum is convenient. And so, and then inserts, again, inserts, you're taking feel away from the putting. So I really wanted to bring feel back. So the 10 carbon steel on the blades and 6061 aluminum on the mallet design.
Well, let me ask you before we run out of time. I've got about a minute left, and I want you to tell me about the dot system with your Newton shafts. I mean, I've seen a lot about it. I've read a lot about it. So give us a one executive summary of the Newton shafts with the dot system.
Okay. So Newton shaft is all about hitting it straighter, longer, with less effort.
I love
The dot system replaces the numerical, not the numerical, the alphabet letters. So it's no longer L for ladies and A for seniors, you know, and I had, you've seen it everywhere. People have a hard time transitioning from a stiff to a regular and regular to a senior shaft.
Right.
Our egos get into the way.
Sure.
And so I don't believe shaft has anything to do with gender or age or anything. So it's all about how fast you're swinging it, your swing profile. So we started with a 1 dot to a 7 dot system, 1 dot being the most flexible, 7 dot being the most, the stiffest, I guess.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so that's the system. It takes the stigma away and, go get fitted for the right dot for you, right, is always the message.
And give us your website so our listeners can go to it.
Yes, it is www.newtongolfco.com.
Aki, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. It's great seeing you again. And good luck with the putters and the shafts.
Thank you so much.
This is Gary Cope, former PGA Tour winner and NBC golf analyst. You're listening to The Back Nine Boys.
Welcome back. I'm Rich Stiles. We're with the director of the Performance Center here at Sea Island, Craig Allen. And Craig had an opportunity on President's Day to visit the SoFi Center down in Florida for the TGA event and TGL event. Craig, how was that?
You know, it was great. It was a triple hitter, so we were fortunate enough to get there at the end of the first match, and we watched it from where the players warm up in the background. My wife and I were a guest of a player. And so it was really great to see it from the ground up, you know, what happens behind the scenes, what happens as they prepare. And then we were watching that end of that first match, and it went to a chip off and Tommy Fleetwood chipped in. It was really exciting. There was a lot of energy in the building. And then we watched both the other matches at 4 o'clock and I think 7 o'clock. And the first match that we watched in person went to the final hole and the putt lipped out. It was pretty exciting. And then the second match went to the final hole, was a tie, and they went to the chip off. So the environment that we experienced, and we were very fortunate being with a player that, you know, the seats we had were very nice, but the environment and the atmosphere and the energy in the building was really, really good. I think they've got that part kind of down for the most part. Obviously, everything can be better, but you can only fit so many people in that facility. And I think for the long-term sustainability and growth of that particular product, I think the TV part of it has to get quite a lot better.
And from your standpoint, from your experience, you're saying, which you just said, that it's much better in person than it is to watch on TV. I've tried to watch it on TV. It doesn't keep my interest to continue all the way through.
Yeah, I think it's very hard to get across the whole environment on TV. You can't get everything that's going on the TV screen that is happening in that particular arena. And I think I've watched several of them now on TV, and frankly, the first couple were brutal to watch. And I will say that I think that every week they've got a little bit better. And I think they are open to trying to get better. You know, they understand they don't have the perfect product. They've had some technology glitches. They've addressed some of that in terms of where the people are hitting from with certain shots. Anytime you're the first to do something, there's going to be some hiccups and some curves for learning, and, right. and they have that, but they have also addressed it. So you have to give them props, give them credit for being willing to adapt and change. You know, they've added some subs in on some of the teams, Tony Finau and others, which has been fun. There's some talk about them maybe doing some celebrities and stuff. I think Billy Horschel brought that up. So they're trying to get better, but the TV product has to kind of evolve and elevate in order for it to really sustain, in my mind, long-term for the TV audience. I think you said it yourself, it's not necessarily you. I think by nature, the avid golfer is going to be critical because it's new and they think they have all the ideas, but they're not the ones that are actually having to do it and implement it.
Right.
So, and I've been that guy. I'll own it. But I think the non golfers or the less avid golfers have enjoyed it for the most part. And I think that's really important for golf. And so I'm hopeful that the product continues and evolves, and maybe we can have a Team Sea Island down there. That would be super nice. So, yeah, I think it's got better, but it needs to still get better.
And the audience inside the SoFi Center is probably more corporate than, you know, just your average Joe off the street.
Yeah, a little bit of both. There's definitely some regular tickets, but there seems to be a lot of corporate hospitality going on. And I understand that. There's a lot of people who have invested in this product and they need to be taken care of. And maybe financially that makes more sense to them in terms of the revenue that they bring in. They can sell a hospitality suite versus 30 seats to regular people. Maybe there is more value in that for
right.
the people that are running it. But at the same time, I think from a long-term perspective, I think there's maybe 6,500 people in the arena or something. I might be way off, but it certainly wasn't, you know, 10,000. So I think for them to really grow the product, or at least sustain the product at a high enough level for it to be viable, the TV part of it has to be what carries them, and the other part is I think gravy.
How long do the matches last? I mean, you said you were there for the day that they had three matches, 1-4, 1-7. Are they 2 hours long, or does it depend on if it goes into overtime?
Oh, it depends, but it's two or less. The time to play it actually seems pretty good. I think the observations I have where it can get better, let's say from the TV side, is I think that the energy that you feel watching it on TV is not there. It's kind of dry and bland. I think they need to figure the sound out. That you can hear music in the arena when you're there, but you don't hear it very well on TV.
Right.
And then on the TV side of it, you hear a lot of chatter with the players, which is hard because microphones are picking up stuff everywhere. And then a lot of times, you know, the lead commentator will ask the player a question. They've asked, I think, Tiger a few times and a couple of other guys, and they've just not responded at all because they don't realize that they're being asked. So I think there's some training to be done there. And I think if you can get the atmosphere physically in the arena to carry over to TV somehow through better sound, better background sound, maybe a better way to communicate back and forth with the players, I think that will really, really help. The more genuine and granular you can make it, I think the better it comes across on TV.
Well, aren't all the players wearing earbuds where they can talk to the announcer or the TV commentator most of the time? But as you said, maybe it's too loud and they didn't hear what the question was.
Yeah, I don't know the reasoning why they're not responding, but
right.
I think there's a fair amount of chatter going on, and I think sometimes they're just not sure that it's them that's being asked the question. And obviously some players are more apt to engage than others. I think some of the players may not be as well cut out for it as others. And I think that's the other part they got to figure out is how do they, not everybody's going to be as outgoing as, you know, player X, Y, or Z. And so you got to figure out how you can get the best out of every player. You know, if you've got a player that's kind of quiet and serious, we'll use that to your advantage, you know, figure out, get somebody else to needle them and kind of get the fire going. So I don't know. I think they're trying to grow it and get better, and it definitely is getting better week over week. But I hope they continue to have that attitude of, you know, trying things and attempting different ways to do it in order to make it better. Because it is an opportunity to expose golf to a lot of different people and put it on TV when there isn't anything else on, frankly.
Right. What was your opinion of the green complexes with the sand traps and the elevation changes that they're able to make on the greens?
Yeah, I think, look, another once again, a new technology that nobody's really done anymore. It's very impressive to watch. I actually took a video of the thing turning and they're changing the holes out. It's very impressive to watch. And kudos to the person who thought it up. But with that said, like all of this new stuff, they have a few things to button up. If you've noticed how many times the players have duffed it in the bunker, I think they got to work on the bunker a little bit. I think maybe figuring out a way to get some moisture on that sand will pack it down a little bit, and they won't duff it quite as much. The players are definitely having to get used to the difference in the grain around the greens for chipping and pitching. I think down grain, you know, the ball is coming out a little bit quicker. Into the grain, they're stubbing it a little bit. So they're working that out. They're talented. They'll figure it out. My observation of the green is I think it's a little aggressive in terms of the slope. It's fun. It's exciting, but it's so aggressive that some of the shots are kind of goofy a little bit. But again, designing a green that can be utilized for all of the different holes they're playing merely by rotating it and changing a hole location is about an impossible task. And right. Very impressive that they got it as good as they did. So, again, not being overly critical, I think maybe that tier and that slope in it is just kind of a bit aggressive.
And the players, when they hit it into the screen, have different surfaces that they can hit it off of. Does it bother you that they're hitting it into a screen, a video game, so to speak?
No, quite the opposite. I think it's quite impressive, you know, that they're hitting that far away from a screen. And the ball's, you know, traveling a fair amount before it hits the screen. A lot of things can go wrong. I think Kisner had a hiccup the other day there, but a lot of things can go wrong between that distance to the screen. So quite the opposite. I think it's fairly impressive. And I watched them, Marty Smith actually rode in on the pallet of grass as they were craning it in to put it, to replace it. While we were there, it was really fun. But very, very cool that they can come in and replace the pallets of grass. I think they've mowed the rough down just a little bit. I think it was kind of a little excessive at the beginning, I think. But again, the things that they are doing and observing as they go. And then they've changed the protocol for hitting wedges from the up tee because they were having a hard time picking it up. I guess the divot and the ball were kind of causing some chaos with the tracking. So they've made those adjustments. And I think the thought that went into it and the putting all that technology together and being the first, it's pretty cool.
So what happens in between the matches? The match starts at 4, you say ends 2 hours or less. Next one's not till 7. They won't start it early. So what happens in between? Is that when you have the adult beverages and food and snacks and stuff?
Yeah, so the corporate hospitality, they have a thing called the clubhouse, which they have food and drinks in there. If you have a hospitality wristband, you get to go in there. And then they have some shop. They had some merch shops for the different teams and then some like hot dog type stands and stuff. It's a lot going on, a lot of people wandering around, and it goes fast. It really does. I was fortunate for the evening match to be in the what they call the owner's suite, right where the players were hitting, with Minwoo Lee and some rodeo guys who I had no idea who they were. And really, the atmosphere and the environment was great. And the crowd was into it. You know, not like it would be at a college basketball game or something. I don't want it to paint it like that at all. But when somebody did something good, the crowd was clearly engaged to the level they can be for that, you know, that smaller number of people. I think creating an experience for those few people that are there is great. But as I've repeatedly said, for it to be successful, it is a TV product, right? It's got to carry itself on the TV. And to do that, I think they need to continue to adapt, evolve, look for ways to get better, listen to feedback from players, listen to feedback from fans, listen to as much feedback as they can, and take the good for what it is, take the bad for what it is. And, you know, they have the ability to beta test stuff because they have the facility. They can bring in testers and test some of these things out. And
right.
I've talked to one of the tech guys involved in it, actually. It's a member here at Sea Island. And they're engaged in it. They really want it to do well. And so I think that's great.
Is this part of the PGA and their new partnership and that $1.5 billion that was put in? Is this part of that product as far as a package that they've put together for profit?
I'm not entirely sure on that, if I'm being honest. I don't know all the stakeholders in it. I think the tour is obviously involved. At what level, I couldn't speak for that.
Yeah. I appreciate it, Craig. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and get your perspective on things.
I appreciate it as always. Thanks, Rick.
You've been listening to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show with Rick Stiles. Go to back9boys.com for all things golf whenever you want it. We'll be back next week with an all-new Back Nine Boys at back9boys.com.